you overestimate great men, people become powerless. If you over-evaluate possessions, people begin to steal. We're going to take just this sutra and put it together, hopefully to help you understand the bigger picture of this world and the kind of world that actually you and I live in. In the first part of this sutra, Lhotse generously talks to us about exalting people above others, those that we think are the rulers of our life, the people in charge. Government would be a very good explanation of that. How we rely on politics and government, and due to that, we become powerless. What does Lhotse mean by that? He means we cannot live on our own. We cannot live without someone telling us what we can have, what we can't have, what we can do, what we can't do. We don't look deep within ourselves to find the riches that live there. And live from those beautiful riches. These are talents and abilities that all of us possess, but few ever really acknowledge, nor do anything about, because of low self-esteem and many other things that we have talked about previously. We become powerless when we hand our life over to other people. People that seem greater than ourselves, exalting them above all others, as it were. Now, hopefully, you understand that. The second part of it is, if you over-evaluate possessions, people begin to steal. This is a real problem in our culture and in our society. Crime, theft, killing. This is a real big problem, and it spreads all over the world. You have to understand what Lhotse is talking about here. If you are to understand the basic psyche of the collective unconscious, and that is what he is doing. He is teaching us about the common pedestrian mentality. And it is very important for all of us to understand. He is not a popular teacher. He is revealing the way, but it is not something that people would celebrate, because it is something that breaks with the fundamental principles of our culture and our society. Let me give you an example of this. One morning, the Mullah Nasruddin was walking towards the marketplace, very sad. A friend asked, "What has happened, Mullah?" Nasruddin says, "Don't ask me. I'm so sad, I'm so depressed. I could just stand here and cry." The friend insisted, "What is the matter? We have never seen you so sad. You've been through so many difficulties, financial and otherwise, but we have never seen you this sad, this depressed. What is wrong? What has happened?" The Mullah Nasruddin said, "2 weeks ago, one of my uncles died and left me 1,000 rupees. Oh, the friend said, "That is wonderful. Nasruddin, are you crazy? If your uncle left you 1,000 rupees just for you, you should be happy, not sad." The mullah went on, "Yes, yes, I know, but Oh, that was last week. My uncle, another one, passed on just recently and left me 200,000 rupees. His friend said, "You should be completely happy. Are you out of your mind? You should be rejoicing and celebrating. You should be the happiest man in town." Nasruddin looked at him and said, "I know, but I have no more uncles. That's what makes me sad." Do you understand? He overestimated his uncles. He overvalued his possessions and he became greedy. And greed is just like stealing. It is the same. So Nasruddin exhibits our greed. And when we over-evaluate the possessions and what they can do for us in our worldly life, and we overvalue them to such a degree that they become our life, we become powerless because we have put our life in the hands of what we think of as great men. This is a common misconception and value that we place upon objects and things. And what Lhotse is saying is not that money is not important. It is. It is extremely important. But how it is given, how it is used, determines whether or not a person is going to be greedy. Money strikes at the very core of our own self-worth, our desperate need to survive. We all have it. How we understand it, how we harness it, that is the key. To place ourselves in a posture where we can live beyond the two uncles and be grateful for the blessing, the opportunity to give and to receive, to forgive and have mercy. This distinguishes our whole life from that of living in the pedestrian mentality. And most of us miss this. We miss it because we simply don't allow for our vision to show us the way within ourselves. It is hard to be generous. It is hard to be kind. It is difficult. Because we're always worried about what's going to happen to us. What if, what if, what if? We miss. And when we run out of uncles, it becomes even more frightening and scary. Do you understand? If you overestimate, people who seem great to you. And anyone that is great to us is one who helps us survive. We become powerless within ourselves. We become dependent upon the world. And that is the bottom line of what Lhotse is saying. Don't make the outer world. Don't make it your God. Don't make it your source. Your source lives within you. He is showing us our pedestrian mentalities. And it is a very difficult thing, I say to you. You have to be very meditative to understand the irony of this statement that he makes in number three. It is very difficult for people to understand, especially when their ambitions are stronger than their awareness. And this is really what it's all about. When our ambitions and our fears are more than our willingness to make effort to serve humankind, to give kindness, compassion in the face of all disappointment. Let me give you another story. This has been handed down to me years and years ago, and I remember who gave me this story. He was giddy with delight at sharing the story with me, but he was not one. Well, let me read you the story. Once, four businessmen went on a trip carrying firearms for protection. They met a holy man on the way. The man warned them not to go that way, that it was dangerous. The holy man was trying to help them. Don't go that way. They did not listen to him. They said they were well equipped to face any danger. As they went further, they found a gold bar lying on the ground. Rejoicing at their great fortune, they wrapped it up in a piece of cloth, with the idea of dividing it among themselves. As night fell, two of them went to a neighboring village to buy some food, while the other two stayed behind. When they had gone, the two that stayed behind felt tempted to keep the bar for themselves and conspired to shoot the other two when they returned with the food. Well, the two men that had gone to the village had a hearty meal in a cafe, and when returning with the food for the other two, they also succumbed to the temptation of keeping the bar for themselves and plotted to do away with their good friends, their partners. So they mixed poison with the food that they were bringing back to them. When they returned with the food, the other two shot them dead. They were hungry, though, so they devoured the food that was brought for them and fell asleep, never to awaken again. This story embodies everything that Lao Tzu is talking about in number three. If you overesteem great men, people become powerless. If you over-evaluate possessions, people will begin to steal. It is greed. And it always catches up with us one way or another. No matter how people rationalize their evil, how they don't want to give, and people don't want to give. They want something for their giving, but they don't want to give. Why would they do that? The story of the mullah and the one I just read to you reveal the whole truth of it. We miss. Listen. There is within you a tremendous amount of life that you have lived in previous incarnations. The difficulty of our living is not life. The difficulty of our living is to realize what our livingness has been all about since our inception in not only this world, but previous experiences. We have to recognize what we are dealing with. Now hear me. In every moment of our life, all of us, in every single moment, we have the chance for a sense of reconciliation with our life, to make amends for the way we have been. Restitution is the key. And if I do not see the value of restitution and how to do the things that are generous, that are kind, that give us the resolve for love and kindness, to have that resolve beyond the ambitions and insecurities of the Gregory Edward here, and whoever your name is, your body, then I have wasted my life. This is very, very important to understand. Every nuance of your life is a chance for restitution. Coveting what we don't have, coveting worldly things, disturbs our inner peace. And that's what Lhotse is talking about. When you are not making restitutions for the sake of the beauty of establishing light in you, the light that you can recognize and follow, then what do you have but recourse, consequence, to live in consequences that are less than kind, less than providing for you? This is so important. And normally when I talk to people about this, they just walk away. They sneer at me. They think it's some sort of financial strategy. And it's not. It's a manner of understanding how this great life as the Tao works. It is about doing without doing. It is with the whole effort of giving and loving and forgiving, having great mercy. And when you have the chance to come upon someone who needs that great mercy and you ignore them, or you do not engage with them in some sense of generosity, a generosity that is equal to the ambitions you once had for yourself, and you don't take the moment to make restitution, to understand the gestalt that you're in, then you will bring great hardship upon yourself. That's what Lhotse means when he says the people become powerless because they do not recognize the great blessing that is before them. So, in the first part here, exalting someone or some people above others causes a rivalry. Prizing costly goods causes people to become thieves. Coveting what we don't think we have or what we want disturbs our inner peace. When you understand this, you will find resolution in your life. You will not be fooled by the manner of appearances and circumstances. You will start to resonate to what that is within you, that is your resolve. And everyone has many opportunities in the course of their lifetime to have this resolve, this restitution of life. I want to meditate with you. I'm going to give you something from the Tao. And may this be of great blessing to you, and let's meditate on it together. If you consider riches an honor to be important, says Lhasa, you will only bring calamity upon yourselves. The way of heaven is this. Again, when you have done your work, retire. In other words, give no thought to it again. I want to keep that focus in you. So focus on your resolve. This quote is so beautiful. Yes.